JC Corcoran Podcast.
Shall we play again?
Michael J. Crocodile Dundee.
Don't be stupid.
My name is Indiana Jones.
Please, don't worry. Whatever you say,
I'll be back.
I am so proud of you. You know, I watched you very closely. You didn't screw up once.
That's Frankenstein.
Americans love a winner and will not tolerate a loser.
Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
I have a sentimental weakness for my children, and I spoil them, as you can see.
Rocky Balboa? Never heard of him.
I see dead people.
Yeah, baby! Yeah.
What you got in there, good to eat?
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball.
Hey, bud, let's party!
Do we have any Mexican-Americans with us today? Well, buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
Listen, I'm gonna go. It's been really nice talking to both of you guys.
Absolutely. Yeah, the pleasure's all on this side of the table, trust me.
Good luck with your layoffs, all right? I hope your firings go really well.
Show me the money!
Don't interrupt me, honey.
It might happen. Yeah. And monkeys might fly out of my butt.
Hooray for Hollywood.
Now I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Monday, March 28th, 2022, 234 days remaining in our American system of government, as we have known it. How you doing, kids? It's JC here at jconline.com. As you know, we are here absolutely free every weekday morning right about 7 o'clock. Might be getting on the air a couple of minutes late here today. You're talking to a guy who's operating on 2.5 hours sleep, because after this thing at the Oscars last night, you know, social media lit up. Immediately, all the news organizations are all over the whole thing. And that sort of wakes you up a little bit. You know, you're sitting there going, all right. So now I'm watching the post shows, you know, because there were a lot of those on the entertainment channels and on ABC, the network that carried the Oscars last night. So now I'm looking at the clock. It's like 2:30, and I'm trying to get to bed, but didn't work too well. So let's just see what happens. You know, we've reached a point in this country where we can't tell the difference between real and fake anymore. People have been so jaded by what they see on television and what they've witnessed on the internet that the stuff that's real they think is fake, and the stuff that's fake they think is real. I'm not talking about you guys. You guys are smart because you're listening to this. Dummies don't listen to this every day. But that friend, that neighbor, that family member, that guy who sits next to you in the cubicle at work, you know, these are the people weighing down the world. They're impeding the progress of this social experiment we call the planet Earth. You've heard politicians talk about the 1%. Today we're talking about the 1% of people who don't know what I'm talking about right now, because they didn't watch the Oscars, they didn't care. They got up this morning and they're like, let's find out what's going on in the world. It's like Amy Schumer said about a half an hour after the main event last night of the Oscars. She's like, yeah, I've been backstage and having my outfit changed and a little freshening of the makeup and everything. I just came back out here. Did I miss something? By the way, all the people who were like, when they made the announcement of who the three hosts were going to be, people were like, who are they? Who's Amy Schumer? Like, oh, God. Well, I'll tell you one thing. People who asked that question and also watched the show last night aren't asking that question anymore. She hit it out of the park last night. Wanda Sykes was acceptable. Regina Hall had one actually pretty funny bit, which we'll talk about a little bit later on. But let's get to the main event. As we said, ladies and gentlemen, are you ready to rumble? I would have done a lot better job on that if I had a decent night's sleep. All right, so here's what happened. And for those of you who saw it and have played it back 3,000 times on your DVR, please indulge me here. Just go along with it. So Chris Rock is up there. He's about maybe a little past the halfway point in the show. And he does a couple of jokes. And he makes a reference to Jada Pinkett Smith, Will Smith's wife. And they're sitting together in the audience. They had like cabaret seating. It wasn't like at the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion or something where it's like the Fox Theater or something like that where you have all the chairs bolted down and it's part of a theater. They had the audience section that was closest to the stage. They had like couches and like little love seats and stuff and tables, and a lot of the celebrities were sitting at those things. And then behind that and up in the upper levels of the mezzanine and into the balconies, and they had traditional seating. So Chris Rock says, oh, and by the way, Jada Pinkett Smith, I look forward to you in G.I. Jane 2. I believe that was the line. You may recall in the movie G.I. Jane, Demi Moore had her head completely shaved, and that's what Jada Pinkett Smith looks like right now. Now, Jada Pinkett Smith did it because she has that, what's it called, alopecia or something, where you lose your hair, so she just figured, well, look, I'm fighting a losing battle here. It's sort of like a guy in his 50s who's been taking that same 35 strands of decreasing hair stringing over the top of his head, not fooling anybody, and then one day you just figure, fuck it, I'm shaving the whole thing off. And I guess that's what she did. Now, Chris Rock is not one of these mean, out of control, not well-liked guys. I interviewed him in person in Los Angeles. He's a really, really nice guy, comfortable guy, very conversational. From what little you can gather about a person's personality in a 10 or a 15-minute interview like I used to get, you come away with a vibe. And the vibe off Chris Rock was very, very good. Decent guy, good guy. And again, if you know your Hollywood, if you know your show business community, you know that Chris Rock is a very well-liked guy. So he makes this joke, and then Will Smith gets up out of his chair and comes walking over him. Now, you'll hear some people describe it as a slap. That doesn't do justice to it at all. It was a slap punch. Almost knocked his fucking head off. Now, all these TV shows, all these live shows are not really live. They're on a 15-second delay. Why? For exactly reasons like that. So the sound guy pushes the mute button for like 30 seconds, and you're seeing what appears to be a shouting match. Well, actually, it was just Will Smith doing the shouting, and it sure looks like he's dropping F-bombs. And Chris Rock is standing there, and the audio is cutting in and out. And, of course, now everybody is sitting there going, all right, was that a bit or not? Because the first time I saw it, when it actually happened, and I'm watching it live, it sure looked real to me. So now you go back and you watch it over and over and over again, trying to find that little molecule of illusion where you can tell the thing actually isn't real after all. And I could never find that. And you could tell from the reaction of Will Smith, who was, you know, launching F-bombs from the crowd. And you could really tell from the reaction of Chris Rock, who was really rattled by it. He made about, you know, 5 or 6 mistakes in his lines that he was reading off the teleprompter. And it was very, very clear that he was pissed and that he was very, very rattled by the whole thing. Now, you didn't hear this last night because, as I said, it was muted by the sound guy on the 15-second delay. But as a matter of fact, the guy who makes all of this happen, our technical producer, Everett Marshall, friend of mine for 100 years and the brains behind this whole podcast thing and lots of other things, if you want to know the truth, within moments, I received this because in places like Australia, they don't believe in a mute button. Whatever happens, happens. It's like if you go to Europe and there's a movie that they run that's got some nudity in it, that's how it airs. They don't have this puritanical business going on like we do in this country. Because if you ask any man, what do you want? The answer is always tits. So what do? Don't let anybody see them. You want to see tits, you pay for them on cable TV. So anyhow, here's the audio, the unedited audio of what happened last night.
Oh, wow. Will Smith just smacked the shit out of me. Take my name out your fucking mouth.
Wow, dude.
Yeah.
It was a G.I. Jane joke.
Keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth.
I'm going to, okay? Lock it on. Okay.
Will Smith, by the way, it should be pointed out, portrayed Muhammad Ali at one point, and in terms of body mass, about three Chris Rocks would make up one Will Smith. Now, let's think about this for a minute. Number one, as I said, it's to the point now where people don't even know the difference between real and fake. They believe the fake stuff is real and the real stuff is fake. Evidenced by social media after this thing happened. And even this morning, there's still people who are insisting that the thing was a setup. People might recall that back in, I want to say it was 81 or 82, there's a TV show on Friday night called Fridays. We were just talking about it. Larry David pretty much got, I don't know if it was his start, but it was very early on in his career. We posted some pictures. Michael Richards was on that show from Seinfeld. Melanie Chartoff, very attractive young lady who did their version of Weekend Update. And if you were around back then, you'll recall that there was an incident involving Andy Kaufman. And I still have that on tape somewhere. As a matter of fact, I'm sure if you Google it, it will come up. But the same type of thing happened where Andy Kaufman got slapped really, really hard by Jack Burns, who was one of the producers and sometime performer. He used to be a stand-up comedian, along with Avery Schreiber, who's a Burns and Schreiber. And when you watch that, you're like, well, it sure looks real to me. And in fact, it was real and fake at the same time. It was real in that Jack Burns really did pop him pretty good, but the whole thing was a put on. It was sort of at the beginning of that whole spiel that Andy Kaufman did with professional wrestling back in the 1980s. So people will remember that, and it's like, well, anything you see like that now is a setup. Well, as I said, not everything, because that fucking thing last night was for real. Now let's talk about it. Which is what, by the way, Will Smith should have done last night. There's 100 better ways to handle something like that. Let's just say Chris Rock was completely and totally out of line for making that joke. Just for the sake of discussion here, let's say that. You still don't get up out of the crowd and resort to pugilism, for God's sakes, especially on a live TV show. Do it backstage. Do it in the after party. Do it somewhere else. But what a selfish, self-centered, self-absorbed guy this is. And here we go with the Scientology again. And here we go with all of the rumors about these two. Because for years now, people have been under the impression that Jada Pinkett Smith and Will Smith are in some sort of open relationship. Why do we believe that? Because that's what they say. So for years, we've been under the impression that they have some sort of open marriage. And again, they've given everybody lots of reason to believe that. And then just recently, like in the last couple of weeks, Will Smith was interviewed by, was it Oprah's friend from CBS? I think it might have been. And he just cut her off and said, no, there's never been infidelity in this marriage. And she went, what? Like, no, there's never been infidelity, which I figured was some sort of semantics. Like when you start getting into that Bill Clinton stuff, depends on what the definition of is. So maybe he's thinking, well, you can't have infidelity if we have an agreed upon open marriage. Ha ha, gotcha. There are stories about people in Hollywood that she's had affairs with. There are stories about affairs that Will Smith has had. So who knows what the current status of their relationship is. And maybe Will Smith trying to overcompensate for his lack of faithfulness, I guess you would say. So what do? You're at a big world televised event. Some guy makes a joke about your wife's hair, which is a medical condition, and you feel your job is to defend your wife. And the way you do that is you go up there and you practically knock the head off of a comedian. And then you go up in your acceptance speech and you make this whole speech about love.
People disrespecting you, and you got to smile and you got to pretend like that's okay. Okay, I want to be a vessel for love, but love will make you do crazy things.
Sorry, Will, not good enough. Love will make you do crazy things. Well, there's a big difference between crazy and what you did last night. You want to be a vessel. By the way, his acceptance speech was a rambling, nonsensical, disjunct mishmash of stuff about what kind of plans God has for him. And he wants to be a vessel and everything is about love. Got a funny way of showing it, dude. Got a funny way of showing it. How will the Scientology community handle this?
The A-List Interview with JC and the Morning Show Graham.
Jada Pinkett Smith.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm
good.
Doing well. It's early. We're in LA.
So where's the old man right now? Just saw him logs?
Right. He's in the next room knocked out.
What's he like in the morning?
He's definitely a morning person.
Oh, he is?
Yeah. He's a get up and go at him kind of guy as soon as he wakes up.
All right. I want you to take a big pot and then get a big metal spoon and open up that door and start just rattling that thing. Come on. Get out of bed, you lazy bum. Come on. Start the day.
By the way, they handed out some awards last night. Best Supporting Actress, Ariana DeBose from West Side Story. Troy Kotsur from Coda. Best Actress, Jessica Chastain, Eyes of Tammy Faye. Will Smith for King Richard. Power of the Dog wins Best Director for Jane Campion. Encanto, Best Animated Feature Film. Best Picture was Coda. So not a lot of surprises last night. Like I said, the three hosts did as best they could, given what they had to work with last night. Wanda Sykes, as I said, was acceptable. Regina Hall, all I was thinking about while she was frisking those five actors like Bradley Cooper and guys like that who she called up on stage was, wow, can you imagine that trying to go the other way? Can you imagine a guy bringing five hot actresses up and then frisking them in a very detailed fashion, frisking them on stage? See, the rules are different when the girls are in charge, huh? So they did their big tribute to the queen of everything, Beyonce, although I thought those were some cool outfits. Rotten song, though. And then the three of them came out, and then they gave away some awards. But then they let Amy Schumer sort of do the real monologue. And as I said earlier, people who were saying, well, who's Amy Schumer? If you're watching the show, you're not saying that today. She hit it out of the park.
I'm Amy Schumer, or as they know me in Hollywood, Melissa McCarthy said no. I mean, this is it. This is a dream come true. I can't even believe it. The only place I could think of that could be better than this is home. Right? Oh, home is the best, right? All my pills are there, but, you know. Inspirational, isn't it? It's just, after years of Hollywood ignoring women's stories, this year, we finally got a movie about the incredible Williams sisters' dad. What other movies are nominated? Don't Look Up is nominated. Yes. Yep. I guess the Academy members don't look up reviews. And I mean, Leonardo DiCaprio, what can I even say about him? He's done so much to fight climate change and leave behind a cleaner, greener planet for his girlfriends. Because he's older and they're younger. Okay, you get it. Yeah. All my heroes are here. So many amazing filmmakers. I mean, Aaron Sorkin, a genius, truly, right? I mean, the innovation to make a movie about Lucille Ball without even a moment that's funny. I mean, if you're Aaron Sorkin, how you make a movie about the most iconic female comedian, not one left. Brilliant. It's brilliant. It's like making a biopic about Michael Jordan and just showing the bus trips between games.
I have been singing the praises of Amy Schumer for quite a few years now. I would highly recommend you check out, she's got a brand new show right now, which is streaming on Hulu. But if you go to the internet, there was a television series called Inside Amy Schumer. It was tremendous. Some of the best sketch comedy I've ever seen. And make sure you see The Food Room and also see the takeoff they did on Friday Night Lights. You just see those two episodes and you'll be hooked. The Aaron Sorkin send-up of The Food Room is as creative writing as I've ever seen. And she's so good. And some people will look at her and go, well, she's fat. It's like, she's not fat. She's just not skinny. Not Hollywood skinny. But she did really, really, really well last night. And You got to believe the sky's the limit for her. You know, it's interesting because I think the two hottest properties in comedy right now are Amy Schumer and Nikki Glaser from Kirkwood. You could probably throw Bill Burr in there too. I would say he's the other guy. Brian Regan is just always so solid all the time. And then, of course, you got Seinfeld and everything like that. But these two, Amy Schumer and Nikki Glaser. Oh, and I would put Tina Fey and Amy Poehler in there too, especially when it comes to award shows. Now, here's the other thing. I liked what they did last night with reuniting the casts of some of the great movies, like The Godfather. They had Francis Ford Coppola plus De Niro and Pacino on stage together. That was pretty cool. They brought out the cast of Pulp Fiction. And, you know, you got to do the obituary reel every year. That was the most upbeat obituary reel I've ever seen. They made it sort of a celebration of life rather than there's just sort of eerie violin music like, oh, they're all dead. Oh, it's terrible. They made it really upbeat. So some of the changes they made, I think, were significant. And people are like, oh, you know, they just did all that to jack up the ratings. Well, yeah, number one, that's the game. The game is getting ratings on television shows, especially big television shows. But number two, it doesn't help the ratings if you're not watching. So people are like, well, they did that to jack the ratings. Well, nobody knew that that was going to happen last night with Will Smith and Chris Rock. So how could it jack up the ratings? If I'm sleeping through the show, they could bring out a reconstituted John Lennon and it wouldn't make the ratings go higher if I wasn't watching in the first place. So that's sort of a dumb, illogical statement or claim to make. And then also bringing out people who are not movie people. Tony Hawk, Kelly Slater, Shaun White doing the presentation of one of the awards. That was cool. Oh, and it was a little odd standing ovation for the reuniting of the cast of White Men Can't Jump on their 30th anniversary. Standing ovation. That was a little surprising. So I practically talked for like 20 minutes here just about the Oscar telecast last night. There are other things going on in the world. Now listen, there was no way that St. Peter's was going to win the NCAA basketball championship, okay? What they did and what they supplied in terms of entertainment for those first couple of rounds was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. But you knew that the end was coming. It looked like an episode of Welcome Back, Kotter. Were Happy Days or something where, you know, they just needed a storyline. So they said, all right, Ralph, Malph, and Potsy, put on these basketball outfits or the Sweat Hogs. That's what the team looked like. They didn't even look like basketball players. So it was nice and everything, but, you know, the Jesuits found themselves crashing back to reality yesterday afternoon. I think this is a dumb idea. But maybe by the time this thing passes through your ear canal, the deal will already be official and already announced and made public. But apparently the Cardinals are bringing Albert Pujols back as a DH. You know, I watched him a lot last year with the Dodgers, and they can only really use him against left-handed pitching. He's not the Albert Pujols you remember. I'm sorry. He doesn't even look the same. That belly he's starting to look like me. He struck out a lot, and, you know, you're using up a roster spot for what's supposed to be, what, warm fuzzies? Does everybody remember that Albert Pujols was offered a great contract from the St. Louis Cardinals, but at the 11th hour, bolted for California? Usually when people do that, people in St. Louis don't like it, and they remember. They have very, very good, very, very long memories, and for some reason, he's getting a pass, and I don't know why. Yeah, I know he left us with all wonderful memories, and it's a terrific guy that does lots of charitable work. I totally understand that, but he still fucked us. Now, you can make the argument that he did us a favor by leaving for California, because now we didn't spend all that money just on one guy, and a 10-year contract is absurd in any sport. So as I said, you know, a lot of people have been making the argument that it was actually good for the St. Louis Cardinals. Less than 2 weeks from opening day, and Dakota Hudson didn't appear to be fooling anybody yesterday. I know it's spring training, scores of games, and you know how pitchers do against certain hitters and all that. It doesn't always mean anything because guys are still working on pitches. They're working on stuff. It's not the real season. This is the time to do the experimenting, to do the perfection. So, like, well, he left that one out right out on the plate. Well, yeah, because he's still fooling around out there trying to work on pitches. And, you know, you do stuff in spring training you wouldn't do in the regular season. That's why it's called spring training. That's where you're supposed to do that stuff. But I wanted to play this for you because I was watching the game. It ended up being the New York Mets broadcast yesterday afternoon. And the Mets play-by-play guy, and then, you know, he was talking, and then Ron Darling, former pitcher for the Mets, started talking about the St. Louis Cardinal baseball franchise on the Mets telecast.
Eduardo Escobar's story is compelling. He grew up dirt poor in Venezuela and was a guy who really was not considered a big prospect. He was talking to the minor leaguers about some of the things that he went through, not only in his childhood, but early in his professional career, where he was in the minor league camp and he was called over to play in a couple of games on the big league side and caught people's attention that way. And the message he was sending over there is that there's always somebody watching and you can always do something to attract attention and better yourself. And from what I'm told, the minor leaguers were in rapt attention the entire time. And It kind of shows you the kind of person Eduardo Escobar is, and he comes with that reputation as a guy who will do anything to help his team. And that's just one of the things that he has contributed this spring.
No, he was asked about his switch hitting. He said, they asked me early on if I wanted to switch hit. I never said no at any time when I was a young player. Whatever they wanted me to do, I would do it. I would do it better than anyone else, or at least work as hard as I could. No one was going to outwork him.
And by the way, that's still his philosophy.
Yeah.
Anything they ask him to do, he'll do it.
After I had retired, Tony La Russa invited me to St. Louis Cardinal camp to work with the pitchers on holding runners. I was there, and they have a great culture, you know, the Cardinals in their spring training. I've always had that. But then I came back, and I was doing something, I don't know why, and I got to listen to Matt Carpenter talk to the minor leaguers, a guy that was never considered a prospect, turned himself into getting a big, huge contract, and was, for many years, one of the best hitters on that ball club, and now he's trying to find himself again in Texas. I was there, there had to be 100 minor leaguers on the field, and as soon as he was done, people were not only enwrapped, I mean, he had some guys like emotionally into it. As soon as he was done, all 100 plus kids started running to whatever field they had to go because they could not wait after the speech to go and be the next Matt Carpenter, to have a chance to work hard, get that huge contract that Matt had gotten. And it's a credit to the Cardinals. It's a credit to Eduardo Escobar and the Mets now that these players who are established, they could not care a darn about those kids over there, and they can inspire them.
There is a culture with the Cardinals that did always try to include some element of that in spring training. George Kissel, did you ever
meet
George Kissel?
Yeah, of course I did.
He used to have a speech with all the minor league guys talking about, A, you're always scouted more in professional baseball than you ever have been scouted before, one of the points that Escobar was making. And he also told a great story about Stan Musial being a pitcher, and then somebody had seen him take some batting practice. He was going to get released, and they said, you know what, I'll take a chance at this guy as a hitter, and he went to the minor leagues as a hitter, and the rest is history. So you never know what can happen when you work hard and keep your head focused. Once you get that opportunity, make the most of it.
That is part of changing the culture here too, you know?
I'm going to tell you this, you may not like the idea, but one of the best ways to find out about your team, your franchise, your favorite team is to watch the telecast from the other team. You will learn things about your team, in some cases, better that way than from your hometown guys. But it's nice to know that our competitors understand what we have going in St. Louis, and not just in St. Louis, but also in places like Springfield, Missouri, the Memphis Redbirds, all the instructional work being done in Florida. This is a good organization. We start playing games for real in just days. And that means JC's home opener baseball extravaganza is coming on April 7th. And with that, We put a lid on another J.C. Crockman podcast here at jconline.com. We're here every Monday through Friday, absolutely free. 7 o'clock, got a little late today, I apologize. But like I said, I had about 2.5 hours sleep. I'm barely moving here today. We archive everything. If you miss a podcast, you know the drill. Email me, JC at jconline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Crockman. We have an announcement that will be coming any day now. I'll let you know right here. And on Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Crockman. Have a great day. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Crockman Podcast.